Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in the past through the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he has made the heir of all things, and on account of whom he constructed all the ages, who, being the brightness of his glory and the very image of his person, and upholding everything by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majestic God on high, having been made so much better than the angels, because by inheritance he's obtained a more excellent name than they. So this is to the Hebrews. And remember when Peter was preaching, there were, 3,000 Jews baptized in one day. And lots of the Jews were baptized. And we even read that a great company of priests became obedient to the gospel and were baptized. There was even a group of Pharisees who believed. Now, these people then all became a church of Hebrew Christians, probably in Jerusalem. And so someone, it could be Paul, but it doesn't say who actually wrote Hebrews, somebody, probably Paul, is writing to them because they're starting to slip away. They're starting to go back to the beliefs of Judaism. And so he's now going to make the point that Jesus is greater than angels, that in fact he's not an angel. He's greater than angels. And the Jews are quite obsessed with angels. So he starts to make his point, always using the Old Testament scriptures to prove his point. To which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today have I begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son." When he brings in the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." Of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds or spirits, and his servants a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated sin. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows." So he's demonstrating that Jesus is greater than angels. But this is going to be on the, explained later in chapter 2, that this is going to be on the basis of the fact that Jesus was human, but he didn't sin. He was one of us. And we are going to be saved ultimately, and we are in the image of God. So was Jesus. But because he was human and didn't sin, he's therefore been exalted and lifted up to a far higher status than any angel. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was an angel, Hebrews 1 is a very good passage on that, because Jesus was not an angel. He was greater than angels. And Paul is very clear about this here. And by the way, he says that because Jesus loved righteousness and hated sin, therefore God, your God, so God was the God of Jesus, shows he wasn't God himself, therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. So Jesus loved righteousness and hated sin. And that's how we should be. Although we are still sinners, we hate what we do. And that's what you get with Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says, "I hate what I do. And I don't like what I do, but I hate it. But in my heart, I serve God." And so that's how we should be, that you actually love the ways of righteousness. So that when Jesus comes and we're in God's kingdom, we'll love it. That, yay, I am living at peace, I'm living in kindness, I'm living in love. I'm being obedient to God all the time. That's what I love. But if you actually love sin, if you love doing bad things, well, it wouldn't be much point in you being in the kingdom of God. So the important thing is to love righteousness. And in fact, I think it's the result of our own sins and failures that make us, in a way, love righteousness more. So he goes on, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. But they shall perish, but you remain. and they will all become old like a garment or a jacket does. And as a piece of clothing, you will roll them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not end. But of which of the angels did he ever say, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? That's ministering means to serve. Sent forth to minister or to do service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So we are those who will inherit salvation. And the angels are sent forth to serve us. So actually, when Jesus comes and we enter God's kingdom, we will actually have a role or a status greater than angels. We will be greater than angels. And it's because of that, he's reasoning, it's a rather complicated argument, but because of that, he's saying Jesus is now greater than angels. And he's going to say in the next chapter that he was made for a little time lower than the angels, but is now made ruler over all the works of God's hands. So then, the angels are serving us. It seems hard to believe, but there are angels running around in our lives, arranging things and helping us towards salvation. Now, whether you actually see them, literally, is another story, but all I can say is that when the church were praying for Peter, and then ding-dong, there's Peter, he is thought, or they think, that, well, it can't be him, it must be his angel. So there is an idea of guardian angels in the Bible. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. But here we're told that actually all the angels, all of them, are all involved in serving us. Is an amazing idea that if you have a problem at school or in the family or at work, that was all arranged maybe by a whole load of angels running around arranging all sorts of complicated things in your life. And so we are special to God, and all these angels are involved in that. And finally, just the force of that little word, all of the angels, they are all serving spirits. They are all sent forth to serve us. So there's not good angels and sinful angels. All the angels are righteous and obedient to God. God is all-powerful, and he's completely in control. We needn't think that God's only got half the power, and there's demons and devil and all that running around trying to fight against him, and who knows who's going to win. God is 100% powerful. You can be absolutely assured of that.